can.
Can la, sure can, no problem one.
I think that needs to be our like intro thing before the
can.
Sure la.
Sure la, no problem.
Hi, I'm Sha 2.0.
And I'm Sha the First. And you're listening to Nerdum Say, a podcast where two girls with an overactive imagination take on a geeky journey through fiction.
Episode 11, 1 year later.
In today's episode, we're celebrating our first year anniversary of this podcast. And with cake, or in my case, savory cake, aka pizza.
Woohoo! And I'm having avocado brownies. Therefore, neither of us are actually celebrating it with cake.
We're just taking sort of elements of cake. She's taken the sweet element of cake. I've taken the shape element of cake.
And the flour element of cake, because that's not in mine.
Oh, yeah, avocado.
But, you know, whatever it is that we use to celebrate, who cares? It doesn't matter. It doesn't have to be cake.
Yep. And as we say that, I'm going to dig into my cake because I'm starving. This episode is just going to be ASMR of me eating.
Welcome to the new and improved Nerdum Say, where we just eat and chat.
What's mukbang but audio? Is that a thing?
I think like ASMR.
That's just it. Mukbang, yeah. But audio is ASMR. God damn it.
Eating ASMR? I'm sure there are plenty of those out there. Sharnia's too busy munching on a pizza to reply.
I have to say, we'll get into our content soon, but I'm eating Domino's pizza. And it's the good, like cheap $5 pizza. And anyone that has a problem with it can at me, can fight me and try to change my mind, but this is the best pizza in the world, straight up. Italians can go suck it.
Are you serious? In the world? Come on, you've not had any good pizzas then. I feel sorry for you.
No, it's just, look, there is a satisfaction that comes with a really, really cheap pizza when you're a broke student that no other pizza in the world can give you.
Okay, then say it like that. Don't be like, it's the best pizza in the whole world.
It is the best pizza for me.
It's the best cheap pizza for you. Like, Domino's in Malaysia is not cheap pizza. Our cheap pizza, it's Pizza Hut. And it's quite crap. Domino's is like $30 for regular pizza here.
Pizza Hut is crap everywhere.
I feel like digging into my brownies just because you're making me very hungry. Also, like, I have like a quick story. I feel like at this point, all of my food misadventures should just be a special segment, like Sha the First and her food misadventures. Because we heard about my tofu story from like Scotland the last time and how I lost my iPad charger. So I give you my failed story, my failed food misadventure. No, I can't say that. That's redundant. My food misadventure part two. So like yesterday we decided that we were going to have cake for this episode. And I was like, cool. That sounds good. Initially I was like, I'm going to bake a cake. And then I was like, no, I'm not going to bake a cake. I ain't got no time for that. So I was going to get breakfast from Starbucks because sometimes they have decent-ish sandwich. And then I thought, okay, they have nice cakes at times. I'm just going to get a slice and that will be for the episode. I'll just keep it in the fridge. Ordered it. They came and delivered it down to the lobby because they live in an apartment and they can't come up because of COVID rules and whatnot. So I was like, oh, cool. I'll just get it on my way down. Got ready, had a meeting, went down to get my food. And then I realized, oh shit, I'm heading out for a meeting. The cake's going to melt. And I literally did not have time to go back up and put it in my fridge. So I said, it's fine, I'll roll with it. Like, I'll just turn up the aircon in my car. I'll, like, rely on the air conditioning in the meeting room. All good. So brought it into the meeting. Not too bad. And then after meeting, I got into my car and I was too hungry, so I just ate the cake. And it was mildly melted because I got passion fruit Oreo cheesecake. Not good. Not as good as it sounds, but... So I'm left with my old brownies today that I'm struggling to finish because I made a big batch.
I bought donuts yesterday for the episode, but I ate them all. So
define all. Define all. You said three? Nice.
They were Krispy Kreme's classic. Oh. Sugar glazed donuts.
Ooh, yum. Yum, yum, yum.
I know I sound like an old person. I sound like a boomer, but all these U.S., you know, donuts with their sprinkles and their what have yous and your jam. Jam. Why is jam on donuts? I mean, I get it, but like, why?
It's so good, though.
Yeah, I like my donuts classic, you know. Just keep it simple. Sugar glazed. Fried. That's all you need.
That is true. But if you ask a Malaysian, they would tell you that the best donuts are the ones that you find by the roadside in Malaysia, like the stalls. Aww. Where it's not, it is pretty much the same, but there's no sugar glaze. We're not fancy like that. It's just like sprinkled with granulated sugar. And it's so soft. It's what we all ate in our school canteens growing up. And it used to cost like 30 cents for like a big wheel. Now it's probably like one ringgit or two, but it's still so good. It's so fluffy. It's so warm. It's like warm donut with the granulated sugar. Mm, so good. So cheap and good.
I'm just realizing now that we've spent a good portion
of time just talking about. Well, happy birthday to us. Welcome to our party where there's no food for you. Bring your own food.
Bring your own food. Bring your own booze. Oh, I have
bring
booze.
Your own.
No, I don't want to be tipsy by the end of this.
I have booze and I have no problems being tipsy at the end of this. And here ends our mukbang session. On with the episode.
To the episode, Kronk.
Wrong episode, Kronk.
All right. So, I mean, quite frankly, it is the wrong episode because we've been talking about food for so long, but now we're gonna talk about the episode. So this episode is gonna be broken down into two segments. They're probably gonna overlap with each other, knowing us, but it's fine. So the first segment is gonna be a nostalgic segment. We're gonna go through our good old days, the cartoons, the Disney originals, the Harry Potters and Lord of the Rings. And the second half is gonna be about where we are currently with our nerd journey. So feel free to answer along with us, but this is going to be, if you do answer along with us, it's going to be like Dora the Explorer. We're not going to know what you're saying. But we'd love for you to send us an email or send us a message on Insta or wherever it is, and hit us up with your most nostalgic childhood nerd journey and where you are currently in your nerd journey.
Woohoo! All right, let's get started. I'm going to get the ball rolling and start with Disney. Which Disney princess were you as a kid? Which one you identified with?
I did not identify with any of them because they were not brown, but...
Hey, Jasmine was brown.
Well, I mean, but... Jasmine's problematic. Why is a princess wearing harem pants? It's literally in the word haram. Haram pants. That's what they are.
I saw this coming. I was like, maybe I should have pointed out. But it's okay. Bring it out. Like, you know, take it out. Better out than in.
Yeah. But anyway, so I did not relate to Jasmine. But no, my favorite Disney princess till date is Mulan.
Yes. I identified with Mulan so much growing up. I mean, come on. Run away from home, steal your dad's sword, fight in a war, literally be the reason why they won the war. Hello, that's like what anyone that I can think of would like to be. Well, okay, no, maybe just you and me. But identify so hard with Mulan. I always wished that there was a war that I could, like, you know, just run off to. And yeah, well, it kind of bit me in the ass because now COVID kind of feels like it's a doctor's war. I mean, it's everyone's war, but, you know, we're at the front lines. So I identify so hard with Mulan.
Also, who doesn't want a pocket-sized dragon as your sidekick? I do.
A pocket-sized dragon that's practically useless, but hilarious.
I mean, that's all you need it for. The entire point of a sidekick is, you know, entertainment value.
Exactly. The only thing I can remember is him going, "Dishonor! Write this down. Dishonor on you! Dishonor on your cow!" Oh god, yeah, Mushu is amazing. I have not watched the live action remake because I just couldn't bring myself to watch it since Mushu's not in it, right?
Yeah, I refuse to watch it. Shang's not in it either, by the way. Also, Shang is 100% bisexual. This is the hill I am choosing to die on.
Was that why he's not in it?
No, I don't know if that's... I don't think that's why he's not in it. But I'm 100% sure he's bisexual. Or because at least he was bi-curious.
Probably bi-curious.
At the very least. But he's not 100% straight.
Who says he is? Why does he have to be? No, was there something that I missed?
Like, no, there are people who, you know, just don't think... People think we shouldn't have to discuss Shang's sexuality, and usually that comes from people who are uncomfortable with the idea of him not being straight. But I think it's a good thing to discuss it, because it's very subtle. But he was in love with Mulan before she revealed that she's a girl.
I'm trying to, like, remember Mulan in the scenes, and, like, at which point... we sort of realized. So, okay, as a child, I really just thought that the point that he was in love with her was when he shows up in her village at the end, like at the very end, because he goes, comes back. But now that you mentioned it, yeah, it feels like it's unlikely for it to be a clear-cut point, because that's not how it is for a lot of people. So I see why you are dying on that hill. Ah, okay, interesting. But also, like, maybe it's overdone, but I feel like you've always known Mulan's, like, gender and whatnot from the start. I never truly, you know, even believed for a second that she passed off as a guy. Because she's just horrible at it. She's so terrible at it. So, but I see the value behind what you're saying. That reminds me of when the whole J.K. Rowling thingy happened last year. Daniel Radcliffe said that, I think it's Daniel Radcliffe, he said people should be able to make conclusions about characters if they relate to it in that way. Mm-hmm. So, like, you know, and it doesn't matter whether that's how it was intended to be written or not. So it's like, if, you know, people think that Tonks is, what is the thing about Tonks that's going on, that she's trans? No, that she's, I can't remember. Not trans, maybe, but bisexual. I can't remember something. I can't remember what it is now. I'm so sorry.
Don't know.
But yeah, something of that sort. And you know, it's like, let them think of it that way. Like, what's the harm? Like, you know, because people need to identify with something. And people need, like, what you said earlier, you didn't identify with any of the Disney princesses because none of them were brown. The only one that was brown was problematic.
Yeah.
So people need figures in these shows to identify with. Otherwise, you know, you're not going to feel included.
So just to add on to that, give a little theoretical perspective for my literature nerds and my communications nerds. There's an author who goes by the name of Roland Barthes, or I should say theorist, who's come up with this idea called the author is dead. And that basically means once the text is written, or once the movie is created, whatever piece of art it is, once it is completed, it no longer belongs to the author of it. It no longer belongs to the creator of it. It belongs to the readers and the viewers. So it is entirely about the person's lived experiences, and everything, it no longer matters what the author's interpretation is, because quite frankly, the author's interpretation itself would have changed multiple times while writing it. So there is no exact interpretation. It's entirely up to you to decide what you want to decide, how you want to see this. Having said that, Sheng is bisexual.
I think I relate to what you're just saying from the standpoint of music. It's how musicians always say, like, the songs that they've written get interpreted in like a million ways, and they never would have thought about it in that way. Because you're right, people see it from their lens all the time. Like, you can't do anything to stop that. In fact, you shouldn't, because that's not what art is about. So, all right, Sheng being bisexual. So, if he was not in the movie, then what the heck was the movie about?
It was her being a warrior princess.
Ah, okay. Oh, that sounds kind of cool too.
No.
Okay.
It's not Mulan then. What's the point of it being Mulan? Like, Mushu's not there. Shang's not there. None of the songs are there. It might as well have been, you know, Wendy Wu, Warrior Princess.
Who's Wendy Wu?
It's that Disney original movie with Brenda Song.
Okay. Deprived child right here. I didn't know that. Ah, right. Well, yeah, you're right. You're definitely right, which is why I didn't watch it as well. I was like, I don't want no Mulan that hasn't got Mushu. But yeah, okay. All right. Cool. We shall move on from this hill where you died multiple times. Okay.
Like, I'm not even fighting anyone. I'm just stabbing myself going like
Shang's gay, stab. No, not gay, sorry. Shang's bisexual, stab. I'm dead on this hill, people. You kind of feel like
fighting me. No one's against it.
You're like that knight in Hogwarts, Sir Cadogan. He's just like challenging people, and they're like, "Yeah, sure, okay." Anyway. Oh god. Moving on. Nostalgic elements from our childhood.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Disney has so many things, right? Like, I love Lizzie McGuire. Hardcore fan.
It was so good. Can we just talk about how unusual it was back then? And yet it was so good. Like, it was with the whole cartoon in the middle of, like, a series. It was so eccentric and yet so good.
And so relatable, because especially that episode where Miranda tried to starve herself because she thought she was fat. Oh my god, such good messages. And it really taught me a lot as a kid.
That's true. I wish I had not starved myself, but I don't think I ever did. But
I definitely
as did. A teenager. Really? Ooh.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, it was a really good show. I tried looking up, like, to see if I can find it, like, lately. And I think I did. I think it's on Disney Plus.
Yeah.
I can't wait to get into it at some point.
Yeah.
Lizzie McGuire is really good. Yeah.
For people that don't have Disney Plus, just hit me up.
she's got a thing going on underground. We're not compromising our podcast. Moving on.
Hit us up, like, I'll hook you up with some stuff. Got the good stuff.
I can literally tell people after this, I know a guy. It's not a guy. I know a person. Everything you heard is true.
Got connections in the underworld.
Nostalgic element.
Speaking of underworld.
Underworld? Hades, also, Hercules.
Hercules, also Percy Jackson, so many Greek mythologies.
They're really good. I think as a kid, Hercules was like my favorite Disney movie. It was so good. You didn't Hercules like it?
Was really No, it was good. I'm just kind of trying to remember, recall it. Yeah, it was really good. I think it was good for me, but...
Yeah, probably. I can never remember your actual age. Hang on, let me guess. You're 96, right?
Yes.
Okay, so the only reason I remember it now is after our BTS episode. It's when my head is like, Sharna is a year older than Jungkook. That's the only way that I can remember it at this point. So I'm like,
offended. It should be the other way around. But you're remembering Jungkook first and then Sharna. How dare you?
Fine. Sharna is a year younger than Taeyong. Take that.
That's not really helping. You've known me longer.
Yeah. I have no excuse at this point.
The person wasn't the point, child.
That's true. Anyway, moving on from your age. Well, yeah, Hercules did come out before you're born, I think, or yeah, around the time, around that time. But it was so good. It was so powerful. And also that whole, the way it was portrayed, like they were those, that choir, that gospel choir ladies.
Yeah.
You know, them telling the story, that was so good.
Yeah.
And I love that. That was probably, you know, that I can remember clearly, my first introduction to gospel choir. Ish. I mean, like, if it's proper, it's not actually proper gospel choir, but you know, the way that they sang all the songs, and I was like, wow, this is so good. Like, so good. It was a little tragic here and there, you know, for a child to watch. But again, you know, in a Disney scale, like, I think Hercules is so mild compared to, like, Bambi and Dumbo. Yeah. Those were just tragic. Hercules was still in the middle somewhere.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah.
I think there's another Disney movie that's definitely before your time. It's probably the before... No, but seriously, I think it's, like, from the 80s. I never remember why my dad's friend asked us to watch it, and we were probably just, like, 8 or 9. I cried so much for Nights to End. So I think it's Disney. It's called The Fox and the Hound, and how, like, they were raised together and they were really close friends, but when they grow up, fox and hounds are not friends.
Yeah.
So they just literally go their separate ways, and, like, they know that they've, you know, been raised together and they have all that memories together, but, like, it's just nature, they cannot be together ever again. I was heartbroken as a 9-year-old. I didn't realize the implications until, like, now. Like, it's an element that you see so much in life.
Mm-hmm.
So many times, like, friends or family that you're so close to and you spend a lot of time together. Even, I mean, romantic relationships. And then you just have to, like, go your separate ways. Now that, like, you know, dawns upon me. But as a child, I was just like, why'd you rip my heart out? That was terrible. But, you know, Disney, man.
Disney. Oh. But you know what? I think tragedy has its place. And I feel, I know this is going to make me sound a little heartless, but I promise I'm not. I just really like a good whole, like, holistic content. But I feel like tragedy has kind of disappeared from the cinema. So, like, for example, if you look at horror movies, right? A lot of the mainstream horror movies, they tend to have happy endings now. So if you look at Conjuring, for example, you tend to have a resolution where the demon is kind of expelled and that entire thing is wrapped up nicely. So I just feel that there needs to be, not that there needs to be more tragedy, but there needs to be a good mix. Everything is ending on a very happy note, like, especially in the mainstream. That's what I'm talking about, the mainstream cinema, mainstream film industry. It's all kind of ending on a happier note. And the ones that are tragic tend to be like these, I don't know, even those movies, like if you look at movies that discuss, you know, abuse and rape and stuff, they tend to have obviously not the happiest ending because they're discussing an event that shouldn't have happened, like happening, but they end on a note that has some resolution, some victory, some win. So, I don't know. I feel like tragedy needs to make a bit of a comeback.
What rape movies end on a happy note? I'm so curious to know.
That's why I don't mean happy note. But what I mean is there's a resolution, you know. They win the case or whatever, you know. Something bad happens to the person who assaults. I'm not saying that I want these movies to have a tragic ending. But I'm saying in general, some movies need to have like a tragic ending.
Define tragic, because if you're talking about horror movies, I'm fine with it having a happy ending because I hate movies where there's a lot of blood spill and slashing and ripping out of organs. So like every time, I mean, I don't watch horror movies in general, but I watched Conjuring like twice. I was just mainly because like, oh, thank God, no one dies in a very tragic way and nothing, you know, creepy beyond the demon happens. But define like a tragic ending.
So for example, so even with horror movies, right, I don't think like slasher movies are different like are a subgenre to horror movies. They're not the only kind of horror movies. So if you look at, for example, The Orphanage, where the lady becomes kind of, I think she dies, and she's holding the child in her arm, like her dead child in her arm. It's a very sad kind of ending, obviously, because they're both dead. The child is dead, right?
Right.
But the way it ends is very beautiful. It's very beautifully tragic. So the same way, like, if you look at Shudder, not Shudder Island, Shudder, which is the Thai horror movie.
Right.
So the way it ends is tragic for the guy, but not really, because he ends up being, I mean, not to give away too much, but he ends up being the monster, quote unquote, monster of the movie. Because all horror movies need a monster. It's just up to you to decide who the monster is. Here comes my like film minor. I did a minor in screen studies, you guys. So all horror movies, all horror genre, all horror subgenres need a monster. It's up to you to decide who the monster is. So in Shudder, the monster was the human, and that's the case in most Asian movies.
Right.
And he gets punished because what he did was wrong. And that's the note the movie ends on. He doesn't die. The person haunting him doesn't disappear. They're kind of linked, interlinked with each other. She doesn't let him die. And she's constantly on him, like a weight, literal weight on his shoulders. And that's how the movie ends. And it's super tragic for both of them, right? But it's a story that needs to be told. It needs to be tragic. Otherwise, a happy ending would have not had the same impact.
I want to blame this whole like constant happy ending on like this entire DC and Marvel universe that's been, you know, like, I mean, they've been churning out movies every year, sometimes multiple movies in a year. And with the exception of Infinity Wars, it's always a happy ending, despite how many buildings get smashed down and burnt, you know, or like random people die, like random street people get flung and, you know, probably die instantly. But the ending's always really happy. And so, like, when Infinity Wars came out, people were so heartbroken. Like, half of them die. Like, what spoilers? Spoilers, spoilers. But, you know. But, yeah, when you're saying all of that, what it reminded me of, was of Inside Out. Mm-hmm. Have you watched Inside? Yeah. So, like, I thought that was really wholesome. And that was so good because it really fixated on the importance of like negative emotions, because like you would watch a movie, any movie, like the ones you listed, even children movies, and like movies for children, and you would expect it to have like a very happy ending. And the fact that they capitalize on the fact that having negative emotions actually protects you, I thought that was really good. Like, that's what needs to be told. And you know, it's true, even if you, that's like, you can apply that even to our life as we know it. Like, you can't always expect things to, I mean, things don't, more often than not, things are shit. And like, it reminds me of something that I had. I don't know why my yoga classes always have these random philosophical nuggets dropped in the middle of a pose. But like, the yoga teacher quoted Mark Manson when he said that wanting a positive experience is a negative experience in itself, because you can't always, you know, you just have to accept some things as it is, and embracing like negative experiences is a positive experience. So what you said really made a lot of sense. So I'm interested to see how that will shape up in the movie world, tragic endings.
I mean, like, the problem is, it's less about, at least again, in the mainstream cinema, it's become less about art and more about commercial viability. And obviously, not everyone's going to accept a sad ending or a tragic ending or a not perfect ending, right?
Yeah.
Commercial viability of a happy ending is so much better. So it's the same with like a salad versus a pizza. People are going to choose pizza. But like, even if they know the salad's better for them, but if you sort of incorporate salads into their diet, they're going to start occasionally choosing the salad because it makes them feel good. But they have to be told as a child. They have to be told that you need to enjoy the salad to also enjoy the pizza. And you can sort of have fun with both. You can sort of enjoy both. There's nothing wrong in that.
Definitely. Yeah. I totally agree. Then, you know, makes a lot more sense about the fox and the hound now. Even though I'm still not over it. But yeah, totally agree with you. So yeah. Good. Yeah.
Well, moving on. moving on from some philosophical, a lot of philosophical conversation.
I have a bunch. So my brother recently got a Disney Plus account and I've been scrolling through. And I found so many good movies from my childhood, which I'm going to bring up now. But I strongly suspect that you probably have never heard of them because you are a lot younger than me. But let's just, I'm going to list it out. If you've not heard it, I'm going to ask our listeners to let us know if they have. So have you ever watched Honey, I Shrunk the Kids?
Yes.
She said that with so much of sass. Like, I did. The hell I have.
Of course I have.
Okay, well, it's definitely before your time. I don't know what kids in the 96 watched.
that's true. But then I think Disney Channel used to replay
back their movies. Okay. Okay.
And also Honey, I Shrunk the Kids, correct me if I'm wrong, had a second movie?
They had a second movie. And I think they had a TV series. I don't remember. Or like a movie series, something like that. But it was really good. Okay, have you watched My Stepmother is an Alien?
No. No clue what that is. Sounds terrible.
It literally is what it sounds like. Her stepmother is an alien. It's also like one of the classic movies where like they had really good actors. Like the actress was Kim Basinger. And the actor was Dan Aykroyd. So it's like, you know, the 90s, like literally the highlight of the 90s. Have you watched Short Circuit?
Nope.
Oh, it's really good. It's this like malfunctioning robot that escapes. And then this lady takes it in. And like, you know, it's the classic human versus robot kind of interaction where it's so cute. And she like really likes having it around the house. Like, it's like a companion and, you know, feel good movie. I do think there's something a little tragic-y in the middle, but I'm not going to give that away. There's another movie that for the life of me, I cannot remember. It's this, okay, it's not Free Willy. I can't remember if Free Willy had a good ending, but in my mind, I just don't like Free Willy. I can't remember why. I remember sad bits in it. Like, I think he had to say goodbye to the whale, I think. I mean, it's a whale. He could not have kept it as a pet. That could not have been a spoiler. Come on. It's a guy, a boy with a whale. Like, how was that going to end in a good way? He was not going to become a merman.
Have you ever watched Kenny the Shark? Because having a pet shark, if having a pet shark is possible, having a pet whale is possible.
Is Kenny the Shark a movie or like a cartoon?
It's a cartoon.
Okay,
Free Willy.
Well, that makes sense. Free Willy is a movie. So, the other movie that the name I can't remember. So, please, someone who's listening to this, please hit us up because I really want to watch this movie. It's this boy and he finds a dog. If I'm not mistaken, it's a golden retriever. And the dog can, like, understand him and, like, you know, like follow instructions. But his mom doesn't want him to keep the dog. Do you remember? Because you're nodding a lot like you do and you're trying to, I can see.
Sorry, is this the one where the dog and the boy switch bodies?
No, I'm pretty sure it's not.
Okay, do you know what I'm talking about?
No, but now I want to.
The Shaggy Dog, that's what it's called.
I got to look it up now.
The movie I'm talking about. It's so cute. So it's a... It's a man, sorry, not a boy, a man and a dog switching places.
I literally, I was trying to look up what Sharanya said. I literally Googled the Shaggy God.
Fantastic.
Google says, a Shaggy God story is a story in a minor science fiction genre that attempts to explain biblical concepts with science fiction tropes. Yeah, no, I'm sorry, this isn't it.
I love that. I want to know more. What kind of movies do they have?
I don't know, you should look it up.
Shaggy Dog genre.
Okay, no, the Shaggy Dog is a 2006 movie. I'm pretty sure the movie I'm talking about is like early 90s, if not late 80s.
Don't know what it is, probably. Someone hit us up, because we're too lazy to Google the plot.
We are. Oh, I have just a few words that will bring out the nostalgia in you. Tom Hanks movies from the 90s. I mean, come on.
Tom Hanks, wasn't that like Rosa? No, Nancy Myers. That's who she had a thing for, right? Rosa Diaz loves Nancy Myers movies.
Yeah, but like Jake goes, Nora Ephron.
Nora Ephron, yeah.
Yeah, no, Nancy Myers. You're very close. A lot of time, Tom Hanks movies were directed by Nora Ephron. And like, Nora Ephron is such a cool person. When she passed away, they found out that she had literally planned her funeral service. And it was like a fun service. And she had already included the people that she wanted to attend. I thought that was really cool. Yes, Tom Hanks movies, so nostalgic to me. Mm-hmm. I remember watching You've Got Mail after school, even though that's probably not. I mean, it's an okay movie for a child to watch.
Yeah, it's all right.
It's so good. It has a dog. It has children.
You said,
it has
you a said bookstore. For a child to watch. That's what I meant. Like, yeah, it's.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Sorry.
That's what I meant. Because you said it's an okay movie for.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Have you watched The Terminal?
I have watched The Terminal and I love it.
That is a tragic movie, but. How good is it?
It's so good. So exactly. Good.
Exactly. That's what I mean by like a good tragedy, you know?
How about Jaws? Does that fit? I mean, I think you would love it. Sharks. Tragedies all over the place. The
thing. It kind of demonizes sharks.
Sharks.
Which I'm not happy about. It just completely misrepresents what sharks are.
So, like, here's what I want to know about sharks. Like, if you jump into a shark-infested water and there's, you know, would it attack you?
Here's the thing about sharks, right? Or actually any predator. They don't eat, like, us for leisure. They eat for hunger only.
Okay. Right?
So, if they're starving, like, if they've truly been completely starved, they'll eat anything.
Okay.
But if they've recently fed and, like, they've recently had something to munch on, you know, took care of their munchies, chances are they won't really harm you. They won't really hurt you.
Okay. So it's still like a Schrodinger's cat kind of situation where we're...
Here's the thing. If you're in shark-infested waters, right? I'm just like... I know it sounds like I'm defending sharks, but I'm just kind of trying to explain why people don't need to be as afraid of sharks as they are. Because if you're in shark-infested waters, it means that they have a source of food there. Otherwise, they would have moved on.
Right.
So unless it's like, you know, a shark tank where they're kind of like starved for like months or weeks... and then you're dropped into that shark tank, like, by an evil villain from the 90s. like, unless that's happening, unless that's the kind of shark-infested water you're talking about, like, the general kind of location where sharks are, they'll usually be a good source of fish or seals or whatever they eat. Like, they obviously eat, they're carnivores, right? So they obviously eat, like, some kind of meat. But... So that's usually what a shark-infested water is. Like, it'll be sharks that are in a place because there's a good source of food, because they follow food, right? So chances are they've already fed, and also they don't really have a taste for human blood. Like, you can sort of differentiate the difference between, like, a human blood and a seal blood. And sharks have a really good sense of smell. I'm sorry, this has become, like, a whole, like...
This is sharks as segment. Right here.
On today's episode of Shark Week. So obviously feel free to feel free to fact check me, because I'm not a marine biologist. This is not my area of expertise. But they are not gonna attack you if you kind of, if you're not bleeding, obviously, like, that's a huge plus. That means they can't really, they don't really have anything to sort of make them go a little crazy. Two, if you stay super still, they're not really gonna even really know what you are. You'll just kind of be like a boy floating around doing your own thing.
Yeah, sure, because you know, when I'm like in the middle of a shark infested water, I'm gonna stay still. Sure. That's okay. Gonna happen.
No, let me ask you, right, logically, I know your response is to swim away, but do you think you can outswim a shark?
Like, no, but it's like survival instinct. I'm not gonna just stand there and, like, you know, rely on logic at that point. I'm just gonna be like, I want to get out of here.
Yeah, but here's the thing, like, this is with every single predator, even with bears. They say, like, if there's a bear near you, you lie down.
Yeah, I've heard of that.
And you stay still. That's the case with all animals. I don't know why people are like, oh, but if I'm in a shark infested water, I'm gonna swim. Like, no, that's not gonna help you in any way. You stay still. You know, if you're in a shark infested water, I know it's gonna be hard, but it's the same as, like,
I know it's gonna be hard.
What are you gonna do when you fall off a boat in the middle of the ocean? Are you gonna start panicking and, like, low-key drown yourself because you're panicking? No, you're gonna try to keep your head over water and try to see what your plan of action is, right? Same with sharks.
Okay.
It's gotta kick in. Unagi. we're bringing it back to the nostalgia.
Yeah, okay. And I hope that truly never happens to anyone of us, because it sounds horrible. Moving on. Unagi. okay, all right. You can be like an advocate for sharks.
Yeah.
But like, oh, my favorite shark of all time is Bruce. Fish are friends, not food. Oh,
such a cutie. He really tried.
He really tried. But he didn't, right? He still stays as a vegetarian till the end, right?
Yeah, but then in between, he was a little bit, you know, oh shit, I smell blood.
Oh, right. Fighting his instincts. Yeah, I remember that. He's so cute, though. I that was so good. Until today, the most frequent argument that I have with my friends is, was Bruce from Finding Nemo or was he from Shark Tale? And I know the answer is Finding Nemo, but for some reason, my brain always, like, associates him with Shark Tale.
Oh, shit. I immediately went to Shark Tale for some reason.
Right. Yeah. No, he's from Finding Nemo.
No.
Really? He really is. We should, oh no, don't check, don't look it up. We should have like a poll somewhere and see what everyone says without looking it up. Like, just from memory, where is Bruce the shark from?
But there was a shark in Fish Tales.
What the heck is Fish Tales now?
Sorry, Fish Tale.
You just said Fish Tale again. Shark Tale.
Shark Tale, God.
I think there were multiple sharks in Shark Tale, hence the name Shark Tale.
Oh my god, yeah, sorry, what am I thinking? Yeah, but that's not his name, Bruce. But like, Fisher Friend, not food, is from Shark Tale.
So that's not Bruce?
I don't know the name of the I can't confirm the name from Shark Tales, the shark from Shark Tales, but I know the fish are friends, not food, is from Shark Tales.
So why is Bruce then a cute shark? What was his thing?
Which Bruce are we talking about?
Bruce the shark.
What was the
shark from Finding Nemo? What was his thing? Why was he so cute?
No, I was talking about Shark Tales.
Jeez. All right, we're going to end this right here. We're going to make a poll somewhere on one of our platforms, and we're going to let our listeners decide without Googling. We just want to see, like, if everyone else's memory is all muddled up as well, because this is just really fun. Yeah, but it's bothering me so much. I feel like every single time that I've had this argument with my friends, we've looked it up and I still get back to square one. It's like ground zero all the time. But,
oh God. But I remember for sure that the fish are friends, not food. It is from Shark Tales, because the two, like, little fish.
That's the whole purpose, yeah. Fish.
Yeah, that was the point of it. And that is why I thought he was really cute, because he was so hard. I don't remember
a shark in Finding Nemo.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I think right now, my conclusion is the shark from Finding Nemo is called Bruce, but I can't remember what his thing was. And you're right about the cute shark from Shark Tale. That's the vegetarian shark. So, but let's put this to our listeners. All right. Have you watched Finding Dory?
Mm-hmm.
You have? So this is like this whole thing, right? For like some time now, I've not been like anti-Ellen, but not been a fan of like Ellen's whole narcissistic thing. And like, you know, I mean, like there were rumors going around before when it came out in the open.
Mm-hmm.
So like, despite all the good stuff that she does, I found it like difficult to bring myself to watch it.
Mm. Now it's very old school. I don't know. It's the way J.K. Rowling is a feminist.
Mm.
Like,
yeah,
it's now problematic in the new generation. The same way with Ellen, you know.
Yeah, it was accepted back then for celebrities to be assholes.
Yeah.
And just like now it's not anymore. But I kind of feel like, I mean, this is gonna sound really mean, but I feel like she got away with it real easily. Like she made a comeback as if nothing happened. She didn't even apologize for her behavior. She just said that they'll look into it. And then I think she sensed that there was still a lot of people who were very anti her, especially on like Twitter and stuff. So she decides to like end her show. And I just feel like that's privilege right there, because so many other artists or actors or musicians who are not as powerful as her don't get away with that. Like, cancel culture is so strong. Like, recently, like, I'm a big fan of Mumford and Sons.
Mm-hmm.
And the one defining thing about them is the banjo player. And, like, recently, I can't remember if it was start of the year or somewhere in the middle, he tweeted, it wasn't his support. He had just read this book written by a right-wing political person. I can't remember who. And he just said, like, the only thing he said was, very brave of you to write about your experiences. Obviously, people tore him down because there were some Nazi elements in the book, apparently. And so people tore him down and they were like, how could you? All that makes sense, right? And then he explained himself saying that he's not, you know, supporting the right wing because even, like, part of his family were, like, killed in the Holocaust. He was just saying that for him to write about his experiences is a brave thing to do. But obviously people are not going to buy that, even if it makes sense. Like, the sad truth is it's not going to hold up anymore. And he had to leave the band, which is like, I mean, I was really shocked. Like, it made sense. It's also probably like the right thing to do, because otherwise the whole band would be affected by his actions, you know, even if they were careless. But like, so these kind of things, like, people who are not as powerful as Ellen don't get away with it. And she just like glossed over the whole thing. Like, oh, it's all done. I'm just taking a nice, quiet retirement. Like, you were mean to so many people. I don't know. I mean, she's done a lot of good as well. So I'm like, I'm just not going to.
Cancel each other out, though. The bad doesn't cancel out the good. But the same way, the good doesn't cancel out the bad that she's done.
Yeah, exactly. It's coexisting. Like, it's bad. She should have addressed it in a more responsible manner.
Mm-hmm.
And like, then at least the good things that she's done will, like, you know, people will not be like, oh yeah, this but that. Anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Anywho's. Whatever. Whatever. Anywho's.
So now that we've covered the past, let's sort of past. Well, I mean, we can never truly cover the past. We're both pretty old. So now that I said we're both. Don't get offended.
No, I was shocked, not offended. I'm not offended by my age. I like being like old wine. I don't know what that
stop. Voice of this is terrible.
I mean, is it so terrible to be old? I kind of like it. I don't have to give a shit about a lot of things anymore.
I said your voice was terrible. I didn't say you being old was terrible.
Okay, no, I mean, that was not what I was thinking about. I was addressing the general societal attitude towards like aging.
It's not. You're the one that gets offended every time I call you old. Like, I don't.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't mean it as an insult. I just mean it as you're older than me. What can I do about it?
There's literally nothing that you can do. This is just how it is.
I'll be like, yeah, I wouldn't know because I'm not as old as you. I'm not from your time. And you'll be like, oh, and I'll be like, bro, but.
I don't know. It's
when that movie came out. I was zero.
I don't know, it's maybe part of like being a doctor. Like when you see patients who are like elderly in age and you give them bad news, it's just a constant reminder. I mean, like, yeah, that totally happens to young people as well. It's not limited to old people. But, you know, like, I feel like there are a lot of things that doctors say that, like, lead to an ageist kind of attitude. Like, it's not intended to be that way. It's just medicine. But like, there's so many times where we say the sentence, yeah, when you're aging, or yeah, when you get older, your body, you know, slowly breaks down. Like, you know, things like that, that get into your brain.
How old do you think you are? Our listeners are going to think you're like 60 or something. You're not.
Okay, I swear. I swear to God, there are days where I wake up feeling like I'm 800. I am not lying. Like, I mean, I live on an island mainly by myself. You know, I meditate for like 2 to 3 hours when I have the time. I am 800. I am a mountain at this point.
I am the mountain.
I am the mountain. There's no way that I'm just my age, which is 31.
Like, literally no one asked. Just doing this to yourself.
It's okay. My friends who are listening are way older than me.
That's so ageist.
I know. I think we all, okay, you know what? I'm just going to accept it. I'm ageist. I'm trying to work on it. I love the elderly. Hashtag.
Like, this whole conversation was just you digging your hole deeper and deeper. I'm here, like, so confused because I'm not saying anything offensive to you.
No, okay. Yeah, I'm trying to say, like, so I'm trying to, like, change my mindset because it's just something that, I don't know, it's just whatever reason that I am this way, I am this way, and I'm trying to change it.
Okay.
Okay.
Moving on.
I literally have a headache from that. I have a mild like migraine coming on. See what I mean?
That's definitely what it is. That's this dumb conversation we just had.
Okay, alright. Moving on. Just keep swimming.
Just keep swimming, yeah. Okay, so moving on, now that we've covered age and we've covered the past, let's go towards the future and beyond, which the way Sha is talking, she doesn't have a lot of.
Don't jinx it. I'm in the front line now.
Oh my god,
dangerous.
Even then it wouldn't be an issue because of your age. It's an issue because you're a foreigner.
Have I told you a story about how like so, like, we had relatively similar families because obviously we're related, but, like, the culture and everything. So, like, a lot of people in my family are super superstitious, which made me not superstitious. Then I went into, like, the medical world and I realized doctors are superficial. Doctors are superstitious AF. Like, if you tell someone on your on-call day that you're wearing anything that's red, even if it's a sock or an underwear, they will kill you. Because the belief is that red would mean that you have a terrible on-call and you have like a billion patients. I used to have a boss who would send us home if we were wearing anything red. Not even joking. That's how superstitious doctors are. Another thing, if you walk into a ward and it's empty, you cannot say, wow, so quiet, huh? Or like, wow, it's so empty, because at least 100 people will scream at you and be like, shut up, what are you saying? It's going to get full. Doctors are superstitious AF.
That reminds me of Scrubs.
Mm-hmm.
Where I just blanked on their names. What are their names?
Zach Braff.
No, their names in the show.
Let me do a, hey, this is, we're going back to nostalgia.
Sorry, one last nostalgic piece. Anyway, Scrubs. He's the surgeon, mm-hmm.
And the surgeon was,
and he just goes, baby, where's my lucky do-rag? And she doesn't get it. And he's like, I can't perform without my lucky do-rag. And she's just like, why? You're a surgeon. Have belief in your own, you know. And that was a really good episode because it was about the butterfly effect and stuff like that.
I honestly think that Scrubs is one of the best like medical shows that there was out there. I felt like it was quite accurate. compared to everything else, you know. But yeah, I remember his name now. Turk.
Turk. There we go.
I liked him a lot. He was really... That's a good show.
Yeah. Okay. Moving on from
to the future.
To the future. So where
back to the future.
Oh my god, no, we are not going back in any way.
No, we were there and then we went back to Scrubs and now we're back to the future.
Back to the future. All right. Okay, so where are you currently on your nerd journey? I feel like we're both pretty similar on our current nerd journey.
Yeah, we are. And that's honestly because we've been a huge influence to each other.
Yeah, this
since
is great.
We started this podcast. Yeah, it's all us. We've just been doing this to each other for 1 year now. That's a very interesting question that I've been thinking about these few days. I would say that in starting this podcast and continuing it for a year, my worldview has expanded a lot more than it used to be. It used to be very much just like elements of what I enjoyed in childhood. And I would just revisit that like very often, like just like Harry Potter every year, a reread, or like Lord of the Rings, you know, the same things, because obviously they brought a lot of comfort to me as a child. But so like in exploring new themes, I would go with this, like something similar. I would try to find genres that were similar. I was not open to actually searching for things that, you know, might be interesting. Mm-hmm. For many reasons, but yeah, definitely a wider lens right now. Mm-hmm. I have to say that as a result of like our, like some friends that I have, just the current situation of the whole world and your recommending a lot of Asian shows, I have got like a whole Asian corner now in my mind where I am so open to finding new Asian sources of, you know, nerd culture, like exploring it and enjoying it in itself. I think that's great. That's awesome. I'm so like, it's part of like decolonizing my mind in a way, because I feel like I was especially raised in that whole like white culture is the best and it's the only thing, you know, which a lot of colonial countries, they face that, right? Because we went through hundreds of years of like white white colonization. Thank you. And so like, you know, the whole thing with India and like the obsession with fair skin, you can like literally trace that back to like having years and years of white people and white people being in power, Indian people looking up to them. So I think like my mind was, I mean, not about skin color thankfully, but like all these other things that, you know, we were listening to and reading to, and now that's kind of not there anymore. I'm so glad. I feel like it's a new horizon and I can explore a lot more other things now. What about you?
Yeah, no, same. Like I think like growing up, whenever, you know, people used to watch anime and stuff, they were considered weebs or otaku, right? Like,
yeah,
just people that, but then if you were a nerd in terms of, you know, Harry Potter and Lord of the Rings, like, you know, you had intelligence and stuff.
Mm.
If you watched anime, you know, you were a weeb, an otaku, distant, unsocial, that kind of. But I think, so I remember when I was in high school, that's when I started watching a few anime, few different types of anime, and I really enjoyed it, but I never really stuck. Like I would finish it, but I wouldn't really stick to the anime genre. Like I would kind of mix about a bit. But now I think, like you said, you know, I'm a little more decolonized in my thinking, and I'm really enjoying anime, K-dramas, and a lot of good Indian shows as well. Like you have a lot of good Indian web series.
Mm-hmm.
And not just that, like I grew up, because I'm South Indian, I was exposed to, you know, South Indian movies and Bollywood movies. Like I wouldn't say North Indian because I don't really know much Punjabi movies and all of that. It was just, you know, Hindi Bollywood movies. But obviously because my parents, both of them were born and brought up in Mumbai, I was probably more exposed to Bollywood movie and Bollywood culture. So I think I've also sort of opened up to more states. So I've like kind of found more Bengali stuff and more Tamil stuff and Malayalam stuff. And that's pretty, that in itself is pretty big, because people really don't know much about. I mean, I guess it's not really fair to say that because, you know, after a movie like Bahubali, obviously the South Indian industry is making a bigger splash. It's kind of taking more notice. But for a very long time, people were ignorant on about like the South Indian industries. They didn't even know that it existed. All they knew was, oh, Rajnikanth and Apri Pode. And
Kamal Hassan.
They didn't even know Kamal Hassan. Like,
what?
They knew his Hindi movies. They knew his Bollywood movies, right? They would know like Chachi Chaso Bees, but they don't know his Tamil movies.
His Tamil movies were a classic.
Yeah, but they don't know that. It's same with people like A.R. Rahman. I remember there was this one concert in Hong Kong where A.R. Rahman came, and obviously he sang both his Hindi songs and Tamil songs, and the Hindi speakers that attended the concert were upset that he sang his Tamil songs.
What?
Yeah, and they like some of them were asking for a refund. They said they couldn't enjoy it, and which is ridiculous because he's a Tamil speaker, he's a Tamilian, right?
Yeah.
Or Roja was originally in Tamil before.
Yeah, man. I think it makes sense to me now. So we grew up in different communities because Malaysia is very much South Asian.
Yeah.
So it's the opposite of this, right? Okay, what you're saying makes sense now.
Yeah,
but it's terrible. You have
more Tamil speakers, right, in Malaysia.
Almost exclusively. Like, even people who are Telugu or Malayali can speak Tamil in Malaysia. And they consume, like, South Indian, like, Tamil movies. Because that's very common here as well. But yeah, oh my god. But that's like a whole other racist discourse I have about that here. Whole other separate things. Like, generally, like, in Malaysia, other races prefer Hindi movies. Because they've like stigmatized Malaysian Indians to be Tamil, like associated with anything that is Tamil. So like even in schools, my teachers who are not Indian, like other races, they'd be like, oh, Hindi movies are so great and it's so good. And like all these other things. And like there was something the other day from Malaysian history that we learned that's so relevant to this. Why is it not coming to mind? Yeah, like Indian Ocean, like come on, Indian Ocean, right? In Malay, it's called Lautan Hindi, which is like, are you kidding me? Like what? Like, do you really not like Tamilians or like South Indians that much? Like, it was so much of racism, like that elements of racism towards Tamil-speaking people, South Indians, here, by other races in general. But I mean, that's reducing a little bit now. But yeah, what you're saying, that's insane, like, A.R. Rahman started off like what you're saying. He's South Indian, man. Come on.
Come on, you guys, please.
Also, like, I think that's really rude. Like, you should just appreciate art in its form. Like, if it's in Tamil, so.
Yeah, so. But anyways, point is that, like, to kind of take a more positive spin on it, point is that I've personally opened up to more regional content, not just South Indian content, just overall more regional content. And I think that's super important because India is so diverse. You really don't want to miss out on the beauty of so many different countries, you know? Especially when it's so easily available. I would excuse people not knowing it in the past because obviously you're going to stick with things you're familiar with. And if no one's introducing it to you, not gonna know, but I think there's no excuse now if you have access
to explore.
Like
that whole ideology of I don't want to watch it because it's in another language, that's this that's this mood that doesn't make sense anymore.
Like it's as easy as someone going, oh my bad, I don't know about it, can you tell me? Like, no, look it up, you have Google. The same way with languages you don't understand. Here's a thing, fun fact, there's this thing called subtitles. You might want to check it out.
Yeah, totally. Is there a reason?
Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, that's, I guess, where I am with my nerd journey. I'm very happy with it. But of course, having said that, I think every year I just revisit all the good old stuff Good old days. I think I have to watch Harry Potter at least once a year. Have to watch Lord of the Rings at least once a year. At least the first one. I'm pretty sure I've memorized the first Lord of the Rings movies by this point.
You would be happy to note that I found a Lord of the Rings theatrical podcast that you can listen to. It is really good. Yeah.
We should plug them in and then see if they'll plug us in.
Yeah, sure. I think the podcast is called An Unexpected Journey by Samwise Gamgee. I know. I
already.
I know. Every day I'm just like, Sam, that you?
Is it the actor that's doing the podcast?
No, it's, I don't think so.
God, that would have been great.
I know. I have no idea where he is at this point. But yeah. Yeah, I still do revisit the old stuff. Actually, not so much. You know, ever since we started this podcast, I have not done a reread of Harry Potter because we've always had to prepare other things. And now I'm just like consuming other things. In this last 1 year, I have not watched Doctor Who as well, even though I've been meaning to, because there's just so many other things for us now to read and prepare. And I kind of like that. Mm-hmm. I kind of like that, you know, we've opened ourselves up to new horizons. And then another thing that I think like has changed with me is because I suppose it's your influence as well. And like the world changing in general, like I'm not afraid to take that stance anymore because Malaysia's always been a country where, you know, you don't speak up and you don't challenge stereotypes, and you can in like your own, the comfort of your own home or your friends, but not publicly ever. But of course it's changing lately, but I feel like with the podcast and all our discussions, I've like, you know, become a little braver to just openly question a lot of things and take stances that other people consider are radical, but it's not, like, you know, and yeah, so like that's just really great because I think like if you're always in fear of upsetting some people and not taking a stand, that's just a terrible place to be, because that just means that you're literally choosing not to say something when you can, and that's just horrible. And that reminds me of some reason of our road trip and listening to Hozier, because Hozier is an artist whose songs are so political. Yeah. Like, and I love his stance where he goes like, music is always political, whether or not you want to admit it. Like, there's no way that music is not political. And if our listeners have not heard of him, please check him out, because he questions everything and puts like a whole spin to it. One of my personal favorites is a song called Nina Cried Power, where he literally honors the freedom fighting singers from the past, like Nina Simone, Marvin Gaye. It's so powerful. And, you know, I think that it's hopeful when people use their platform to do things like this. So, you know, maybe we can pat ourselves, like small pats for the
small pats
for the important discussions that we are trying. We're trying not to take it too serious, but we're also making way for important conversations that must be had.
And on that note, thank you so much for sticking with us through our first year. We know it's been a little rocky, but that's because we started our podcast during a terrible time in the middle of a pandemic when we have one doctor and one student that's been low-key dying.
Also, we're in different countries. Can we just appreciate that? Like, yeah. So you would like to know this. Friends of mine who had been listening to me say, like, I have a podcast. I do a podcast for my cousin. Da, 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 da. They were shocked to find out that first, we live in different countries and different time zones. And second, that we've only seen each other maybe 3 times in our entire lives. Like, they were like, do you realize how special this is? You run a podcast with your cousin who sounds like she's your best friend on air, but you guys have only seen each other 3 times your entire lives. I'm like, I actually never realized that. That's kind of profound.
It is pretty profound. I mean, I didn't really, it didn't hit me. But that right? is true, because you were already in Telukintan when I came to Malaysia.
Okay, no, that's not the first time that I've seen you.
Oh, yeah,
I've seen you when, you were 2 years old and I was 8, and your parents brought you to Malaysia. Yeah. And this is a story that I will never tell again, just this time. My mom said that the day that you left, I like slept with your blanket for 3 days and cried, and I just didn't want any other blanket, and I refused to let her wash it. I will never be retelling this again, but
your mom's already told me this story. Just
I know. I mean, like, to our listeners, that's the only time you're gonna hear it.
She loves me.
Yeah. So it was then, and the time you were in Malaysia, but I saw you maybe once when we were both in KL, and the time you came here to Sabah.
Yeah. So overall, just 3 times, which is great.
Yeah, I mean, we're doing pretty well. We have a podcast, touch wood, you know, yeah. All the superstition, all the Asian superstition right now.
Yeah, wood,
touch wood, know, touch
hail.
Choi,
all that jazz.
All that jazz. So happy birthday to us.
Happy birthday, happy anniversary, whatever you consider this to be.
Officially, it's July 15th, so please have a cake for us on that day and let us know what cake you're having.
Even if it's a pizza.
Even if it's a pizza or a salad, or as we like to say, or a brownie.
Also a salad if you put an avocado in it.
Oh, God.
Oh, my God, please don't. You're a frontline worker.
No, it's just all the laughing and the talking for like almost 2 hours now.
Oh yeah. On that note, thank you so much, listeners, for listening to us, not just today, but whenever you've listened to our podcast, whether it's been regularly or whether it was just sporadically or whether it was to point our flaws out or whether it was to bring you joy. And we really appreciate you, and we promise we will try to be more consistent. Just bear with us while we try to figure out our whole long distance relationship with each other and with you. But yeah, we just want to say we love you, and there are no giveaways because we are both poor. but thank you.
I was going to blame it on COVID. There are no giveaways because mail's not allowed.
Oh, that too. Well, we can just say we're poor.
Also, if you have anything to ask us, hit us up at nerdemsay@gmail.com or come say hi at instagram.com/nerdemsaypodcast or twitter.com/nerdemsaypod. We'll be looking for you, and we're going to put our poll on there, the fish are friends not food, so look forward to that.